The room was tense Tuesday night as Northwestern College Democrats and College Republicans debated contentious topics. Do events like this help or hurt students? Erica Schmidt has the story.
Welcome to the first Northwestern College Democrats versus College Republicans debate. Bridge USA, a multi-partisan organization on campus that aims to promote political dialogue, hosted the event. Weinberg Sr. Edward Dowd took the initiative of moderating the debate, which was a mix of Oxford style and Lincoln Douglas.
This is something I always wanted to do at Northwestern. I think the problem, though, was that the leadership from Republicans and Democrats at the time, it wasn't ideal. I think we didn't have the kinds of people that wanted to come together and do something like this because there was still a level of distrust. They just didn't feel like it was worth it. You know, how are we going to come together and talk about issues? It would get too divisive.
Harris Hall filled with approximately 150 students who were all eager to listen. Three contentious topics were covered: immigration, gun control, and abortion. Caleb Nunez was a debater for the conservative side. He is one of the co-founders of NU's Young Americans for Freedom chapter and debated about the need for immigration reform.
I am pro-immigrant, just anti-immigration. Once people are citizens, you can't go back. And so a country is a very big thing to get wrong. And so I think that we haven't had an honest debate about it. I think that there are a lot of taboos and lies that surround immigration. And so it's an issue that I have spent probably 2 weeks of my life either reading about, or like 2 weeks as in 24 hours times 14 days, listening to podcasts about, trying to understand the issue, because it's a very, very important issue.
Nunez said he thought the event was a success beyond the attendance, as the audience got to hear different, intelligent perspectives on the issues.
I do think that it was good to show that there's a lot of intellectual force coming from the right. And I think it's commonly believed that the right doesn't have much, very strong convictions, or that they're just, you know, indoctrinated by their parents. But I think that if anything, this debate was great evidence of the fact that you can have these divergent opinions. And there was a breath of fresh air that kind of came through the room from that event on campus, because we were able to have very honest discussions about issues that typically you only hear talking points about.
As an openly conservative student on campus, Nunez shared that since coming to college, a lot of the ways he thinks about politics have been influenced by his experiences at Northwestern, a liberal institution.
You actively have to reevaluate your views. You have to think, okay, was I wrong on this? Or was I wrong approaching this issue? And if I was wrong, why was I wrong? Okay, maybe I was right, but I need to explore this deeper so I understand why I'm right. And so, since whenever conservatives come to campus, they have to go through this process, because the second you step on campus, there's what I call the brutal bargain, and they have to actually evaluate their beliefs and how they have to evaluate their belief structures and come to a conclusion whether their belief structures that they came into campus with are correct or whether they're wrong, and reevaluate it from there, which is something that I don't think many progressives have to do when they come to campus, because every single preconceived notion of the way the world works is confirmed the second they step on campus, and it's reinforced from the very beginning.
On the blue side, the abortion debater for the night was Weinberg sophomore Clark Mahoney. Representing the Northwestern College Democrats as their co-president, Mahoney shared the reason he debated about abortion on the pro-choice side.
My mom's a gynecologist, so like women's health and reproductive health has always been super important for me. And I don't know, it's just like part of my main pillars of like morality, I guess, is how important access to reproductive health is.
According to Mahoney, one of their biggest concerns for the event was keeping it respectful for the debaters. But the debate proved to be a success without anyone being asked to leave.
So easy to just be in your own camp and to like only hear what you want to hear. So having a debate in this style, it's both good for free speech because you can hear and speak about what you want to, but then also it just promotes more free speech. When you have a debate, you're going to promote more free discussion of ideas.
Due to such positive feedback and engagement, it is likely another debate will take place again next year. As discourse about free speech on college campuses increases, Mahoney said having spaces where people can hear different opinions is valuable.
I feel like people, again, they disagreed with what Republicans had to say, and some people disagreed with what the Democrats had to say, but they're still willing to listen to what they had to say and be respectful in that manner. So that was just one fear that we had before the debate that was just completely squashed by how respectful everyone is acting.
Looking ahead, Dowd said that Bridge USA wants to keep the conversations going.
You know, we completely forget that ideas are not shaped overnight and that, you know, people have different perspectives. They come from different backgrounds and they, you know, have different experiences that have shaped and informed their beliefs over the course of their life. And I think that's what we're trying to do as Bridge, is we're trying to show that, you know, we should seek the best of intentions for people. We definitely think we can hopefully move into more areas across campus and talk about more issues that people care about.
Ending on that closing statement, from WNUR News, I'm Erica Schmidt.
Thanks, Erica. With springtime back in full swing, many new birds are coming to campus. Gabe Shumway talked with some campus birders to find out everything about the hobby and how you can get involved.
Have you ever woken up to the sound of birds chirping in the morning but couldn't seem to figure out what bird was making that sound? This may seem like a tall task at first, but after diving into the world of birding, the whole ordeal may seem far less daunting. Birding can take on many different forms. Some may just be looking out at their bird feeder and identifying, whereas others go all the way to the World Series of Birding, an hours-long quest to identify species. There is plenty of middle ground, however, for anyone who is interested.
Late summer, I was at a bird sanctuary, actually, and we got news of this really cool sandpiper on this pier called a purple sandpiper. And it was the first, like, really rare bird that I saw in Chicago. And that was like, wow, that was a really cool experience. I really just want to pick up birding and, like, seeing birds like that more often.
That's Weinberg senior and environmental science major Colin Porter. Connecting with his studies, his love of birding has allowed him to further explore the impacts of bird conservation.
Coming out here to Chicago kind of opened my eyes to a lot of what conservation is. I learned a lot about the history of the land out here, the types of habitats that used to be here. And it really just sort of got me interested in conservation as a field and, like, what people can do on the side of research to sort of contribute to conservation as it is now.
However, a passion for birding can also start out simply. For Weinberg sophomore Alex Boyko, his passion for birding began after switching schools and making a new friend who took interest in the hobby.
Like, okay, this is my guy. Like, I like him a lot. I want to, you know, fit in. I want to do well in this school. I like birds. They seem cool. You know, I know what they are. They fly. They do stuff. But, like, I don't know anything about them. Sure. What's the harm in learning?
The pastime can also hold deep meanings. For humanities and prison education librarian Josh Hahn, birding started out as a way to persevere through hard times.
My late wife passed away in 2015, and when she was going through treatment and things like that, I started bird watching, and it just brought me a lot of peace.
No matter how you start out, birding can have many benefits. Some see it as a form of relaxation or a way to unwind. Others see the conservation benefits that birding has to offer.
As well as what people can do is just citizen scientists, as they like to call them, recording things like birds and other wildlife around them to help contribute to databases and things like that that contribute to research.
Especially amidst midterms season here at Northwestern, Boyko praises birding as a great stress reliever.
Really good value in having grounding type hobbies, ones that you can kind of shut down and focus into for a minute. And this is definitely one of those things, you know, it's a little more calm. It's out in nature.
And for those interested in benefiting their own environment, birding offers several great ways to do so.
And I see birds specifically as a great gateway to just, they're so charismatic, and there's so many people that get into them so easily that it's a great way to kind of draw in things like funding and attention for habitat as a whole to support restoring and conserving vulnerable habitat all across the country and all across the world.
This certainly worked for these two. Boyko, who has worked to protect endangered bird species in New Hampshire, emphasized the field's common ground with many other movements.
People more and more are becoming generally aware and concerned about climate things. And when you kind of stop and put two and two together, you're like, these are very similar issues that we're facing. We're both advocating for the same goal. Why not work together? Why not have these conversations and foster something out of all of this?
Even at the highest level of competitive birding, the goals are environmentally focused. According to the Cornell Lab of Ornithology's website, All About Birds, the World Series of Birding has raised over $1 million throughout the last 40 years to go toward bird conservation. But no one will start out at that level, which begs the question, what are the best ways to get started? Han helped to create NU Birders, who hold bird walks. He noticed, however, that many students would show up to these walks without binoculars or proper gear. As a result, Han worked with Sustain NU to create kits to lend.
We saw that Evanston Public Library had them on offer, and we said, okay, other people are doing this. It's something we can do.
The Northwestern Library has 4 birding kits that students can check out. According to their website, these are complete with binoculars, a neck strap, a lens cloth, an instruction manual, and a QR code which links to a guide.
We wanted to just link to some really accessible resources where you can just quickly download a guide to common birds, have a little information about the campus itself, you know, and where good places are, connect to local organizations, and just give people a context and a little handholding as they go out on their adventure with the binoculars, right?
Additionally, the Evanston North Shore Bird Club emphasized that their events are open to everyone. You can find more information about their calendar and events on their website, ensbc.org. But there are also plenty of great spots right here on campus for any new birders.
In general, Northwestern is actually a surprisingly great campus for bird watching. I mean, you can see there's actually a crow right there flying around. Great timing. But it's a great place with all of the outdoor space we have to go and try it for yourself.
Lake Michigan is a massive flyway for migratory birds in the spring and fall. And so I knew that it was a great place to see birds, you know, from all over the hemisphere.
There is also technology that's used by new and old birders alike. Merlin ID is an app for iOS and Android that will listen to a bird's call and identify the species with high accuracy. There's also eBird, which allows birders to track which species have been spotted in the area. Not only does this create a database full of unique species, but also helps in conservation efforts and with endangered species.
I like to tell a lot of people to pick up Merlin, and even just like letting it record while you're like sitting at a window or something like that on a day that you're hearing birds singing is really great for just like seeing what's around you.
For WNUR News, I'm Gabe Shumway.
What better time for a new Fairweather Friend segment than this rainy Friday afternoon? This spring quarter, weather has been about as predictable as whether or not I'll be dropping any classes after all these midterms. Is the sun planning to stick around anytime soon? Georgia Kerrigan has this weekend's weather.
Hi, I'm Georgia Kerrigan. Welcome back to Fairweather Friends. Each week, we give you a peek into the local and national weather. With the whiplash-inducing weather conditions we've seen this month, I've been wondering if fall spring will ever become a reality. Let's take a look at the weather as we head into what will be the last full month on campus for many of us. From Evanston, Illinois, this is Fairweather Friends.
Here's the weather.
It's the the last weekend of April, and in true Chicago fashion, this month's weather made sure we kept everything from our winter coats to umbrellas to swimsuits on hand. After some too-good-to-stay-true beach day temperatures in the 60s and 70s, the end of the month has dropped off to some cooler temps in the 40s and 50s, with clouding and breeziness. While I would love to say we will end this month with more sunshine as we segue into summer weather, it looks like we're more likely to get those fabled April showers before we'll have May flowers. You can expect showers tonight with wind gusts of up to 20 miles per hour, but Saturday and Sunday should have milder weather. On Saturday, we're looking at a mixed bag of predicted conditions. While it might get as warm as 72 degrees, winds of up to 20 miles per hour are expected, as well as competing sunny and cloudy conditions with a 40% chance of rain. Sunday will be slightly less sunny, with a projected cloud coverage of 93% and the possibility of 30 mile per hour wind gusts, as well as a 70% chance of rain. While Evanston may be receiving a less severe version of this weekend's weather, know that you are at a slight risk for a severe weather warning if you head down to Chicago. While there are predictions that we could receive conditions as nice as 80 degrees and sunny, forecasters also predict scattered showers that may lead to minor flash flooding. These thunderstorms are in keeping with the Midwest's severe weather season that typically spans the months of March, April, and May. Beginning this afternoon, severe thunderstorms, hail, and a chance of tornadoes are expected across the Great Plains, with the areas of Kansas City, Missouri, Omaha, Nebraska, and Des Moines, Iowa at 10% tornado risk. Across the Midwest and parts of Texas, over 4.8 million people are at what the Storm Prediction Center classifies as enhanced risk of severe weather beginning today, with more than 32 million people at slight and marginal risk as well. That's all for this week's edition of Fairweather Friends. Thanks for tuning in. Until next time, stay safe, stay dry, and stay hopeful for more beach days to come as we finish out the spring quarter. In Evanston, Illinois, Georgia Kerrigan, WNUR News.
As April comes to a close, students and Evanston residents can get excited about even more concerts as the weather gets warmer. Mary Amelia Weiss has the story.
WNUR News' comprehensive guide to upcoming shows in the Evanston and Chicago area. From the Evanston Space to the Aragon Ballroom to the United Center, if you're looking to see some live music this weekend, you've come to the right place. Starting off local, a multitude of performers and bands are coming to Evanston in the upcoming week. At Evanston Space on Chicago Avenue this Friday and Saturday, you can see indie folk band The Arcadian Wild. The band consists of a four-piece group who experiments with a variety of genres, known for bluegrass, folk, and indie pop. The Evanston Space describes the band as one known for its ability to stop listeners dead in their tracks. Doors open at 7 p.m. and tickets range from $20 to $25. Also at the Evanston Space, you can catch jazz performer Liz Wright on Sunday, April 28th. Wright uses her Southern heritage as influence for her music, primarily participating in the jazz, blues, and gospel genres. The singer's song, Lean In, actually made former President Obama's 2016 playlist. Doors open at 6 p.m. and tickets are now sold out. Coming up in Chicago, we've narrowed our selection down to performances from Madison Beer and Girl in Red. Madison Beer, known for hits like Selfish and Make You Mine, will be here in Chicago for a show in support of her second album, Silence Between Songs. Her tour is known as the Spinning Tour. Catch the singer at the Riviera Theater on the north side of the city on Friday, April 26th. Tickets start at $60 and the show starts at 8 p.m. Indie pop star Girl in Red will be performing in Chicago on Saturday, April 27th at 8 p.m. On her Doing It Again World Tour for her sophomore album, the singer will be at the Aragon Ballroom in Uptown Chicago. Having already opened for Taylor Swift's Eras Tour last year, fans should be in for an exciting show. Doors open at 7 p.m. and resale tickets start at roughly $50. Next, looking all the way ahead to fall 2024, Charli XCX and Troye Sivan announced a tour together, called the Sweat Tour. The duo will be performing together at the United Center in the West End of Chicago on September 30th, 2024. Tickets go on sale to the public on Friday, April 26th. That's all we've got for you this week. Tune in next Friday to find out about more concerts happening near you. For WNUR News, I'm Mary Melia.
The pro-Palestinian encampment on Deering Meadow entered its second day this morning. Here's what you need to know. On Wednesday night, Associated Student Government passed the People's Resolution, a call on the university to cease its investments in companies associated with the State of Israel. The petition has over 2,000 signatures. On Thursday morning at approximately 7 a.m., Northwestern students took to the grassy space in front of Deering Library to pitch tents, demanding that Northwestern divest from institutions connected to Israel amidst the country's ongoing war against Hamas. Many student groups, including Students in Justice for Palestine, Jewish Voices for Peace, and Educators for Justice in Palestine, organized the encampment. Northwestern is one of many universities to join the anti-war protest this week. The past 2 days saw moments of tense interactions between Northwestern police and the protesters. Early Thursday afternoon, the university released an addendum to university policy outlining additional protest guidelines. Officials have called for protesters to remove all tents or face possible suspensions, expulsions, and legal repercussions. By Thursday evening, the encampment had grown in numbers significantly. JVP held a Seder for Liberation at 7 p.m. in honor of Passover, and a formal rally took place at 8 p.m. Multiple protesters slept at the encampment overnight, and chants and poster making continued into today. Event organizers say they will not take down the encampment until Northwestern's administration meets all of their demands, which largely focus on the school divesting from certain stocks that make up its endowment. WNUR News will continue to cover these unfolding events on campus. That's all for WNUR News at 6 p.m. For more news, updates, and reports, follow us on X at WNUR News and Instagram at WNUR News 89.3. You can listen to these and other WNUR News stories on our website, WNURnews.org. That's WNURnews.org. Find us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to your podcasts. Our producer today is Mika Ellison, and our reporters are Erica Schmidt, Gabe Shumway, Mary Amelia Weiss, and Georgia Kerrigan. I'm John Ferrara, and catch our next newscast Monday, April 29th. Now, back to scheduled programming.